Hello, everyone. This is Todd Wright. Thanks for listening to my podcast. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast, and I'm going to be talking about sort of the power rankings of the top five programs in college football in the state of Florida. There's your tease. Let me talk about my sponsors who keep me going. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson who's been fortunate to have Brandon Legal Group supporting and participating in my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments for many, many years. They asked me to convey a very simple message here on the podcast that they are a full-service law firm and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. So if you are in need of legal assistance and you are in the Tampa Bay area, you may receive a free consultation by calling Brandon Legal Group at 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576, or you can request a free consultation by going to brandonlegalgroup.com. Full service can mean so many things. It can mean divorce. It can mean family law. It can mean child support adjustment. It can and likely means or covers what you need it to mean if you are in need of legal assistance now or at some point in the future. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. West Chase Golf Club will host the upcoming Todd Wright Tour 43, XLIII. It will be in early October. More details will be announced to the public. Once we get to August, I expect this event will sell out, as virtually every event has sold out the last five-plus years. West Chase Golf Club is a public golf course in Tampa. It is not semi-private. It is not private. One of my players in particular plays it at his leisure, and you'd say, well, that means he's a member. No, he has an annual pass. That's something that West Chase Golf Club offers a select number of players for a very good price that makes you feel like it's your club, yet they remain a public golf course. West Chase Golf Club is a 72-hole championship layout that I have been playing for many, many years. I still remember when I first played it as a guest of a longtime friend of mine who knew I found his wife very fetching on ABC Action News in Tampa Bay back when I was a local talk show host in Tampa Bay, and we all became friends. And he brought me out to play golf at West Chase Golf Club back when West Chase basically was a handful of homes, a golf course, and a Publix. And now it's so much more. But West Chase Golf Club is still there, and it still does great, and it hosts a Todd Wright Tour golf event every year. For tee times, visit westchasegc.com, westchasegc.com. In advance of this podcast, someone asked me recently, do you read the message board on Joe Bucks Fan about your podcast? No, because people that post on the message board don't listen to the podcast. What's the fucking point of that? So if you listen to this podcast and you have a comment, positive or negative or a little bit of both or somewhere in between, you know you can send it to me personally and you will get a response at write.todd@yahoo.com. There is no reason, if you listen to any of these podcasts, to post on a message board on joebucksfan.com. Now, that benefits joebucksfan.com in a way I won't get into. But to me, it's cowardly, and it shows you don't actually listen to the podcast. So what's the point of the comment? You're just showing your ignorance because you didn't listen to the podcast, because I give you the email to contact me with your actual comment. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, for those of you who actually listen to the podcast. Instagram at ToddWright2121, Twitter at ToddWright2121. We can also be Facebook friends. I am simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Before I get into the guts of today's Todd Wright Toddcast, let me talk about Season 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Season 8. Some say it's Season 9. No, it's Season 8. I'm convinced I have this right. Either way, we return with the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, a separate podcast from this. on August 1, we will have the same presenting sponsor in Hooters, and I appreciate their continued support and generosity. They are keeping this thing going. We will have the podcast League return, which, like any league I've ever commissioned, has no entry fee. More details to come, but the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast returns for Season 8, August 1st. We will offer a minimum of 52 episodes. It is a very unique perspective on fantasy football that hopefully can help you win in your leagues. And thanks again to Hooters for their continued support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast returning on August 1st. Let's talk college football, because that begins in games that actually count before the NFL does. Put this out there. I still don't understand why the NFL doesn't play on Labor Day weekend. I don't. I haven't for years. Even as the NFL expands their regular season schedule, they add on the back side and they allow college football to showcase their season and so many games across Labor Day weekend. You now even have a week zero with some games the week before the Labor Day weekend, but it amazes me. So college football will start first. So for many, many years, now the glory days of the Big Three in the state of Florida, when almost on an annual basis, either Florida, Florida State, or Miami were competing for or winning national championships. Each of the three programs has multiple titles, but it's been a while. And there have been some rough years, most recently, for those three programs. Florida State looks like it has its shit together. And they really hit their stride under Mike Norvell last year. And there are expectations for them to compete for a conference title and perhaps even more this season. Remember, this year is still just a four-team college football playoff. Next year, the playoff expands to 12. If this year's playoff included 12 teams, then FSU would be in contention for the college football playoff. I think it's far-fetched to think Florida State will make the college football playoff, but if they can win the Atlantic Coast Conference, they're at least in the conversation. And they're in the conversation to win the ACC this year. A lot of good things happening in Tallahassee. Florida, second year of Billy Napier, what do you got? Because you were an embarrassment at the end of last year. The better Richardson is in the NFL, the more it makes Florida look bad. Because it shows that they didn't know how to use him. They didn't help him. They didn't coach him up, didn't support him, and he just got the hell out of town. While you had a Heisman Trophy winner stay at USC. So they had nothing left from the quarterback room at the end of last year. They probably shouldn't have accepted a bowl bid because they even asked the Vegas Bowl that they played in if they could play a team in UCLA that didn't care about defense. Instead, they got Oregon State that did care about defense, and Florida had no chance. So it was an embarrassing finish to last year for Florida, and Billy Napier needs to take another step this year. It will not include a trip to the SEC championship game, but it needs to be better than it was a year ago. Miami continues to be a mess. That's my alma mater. I have zero expectations for the Miami Hurricanes under Mario Cristobal. I'm not sure what Miami can do, if anything, to get back to what they were. It's always talked about. I don't see the evidence. I don't see the work. I don't see the necessary people. And the first year of Cristobal was, it wasn't a dumpster fire, but it was a disaster. And I don't have much hope that Miami can be competitive in the ACC. But there's still the big three. Now, recently, a couple of good guys at the Tampa Bay Times put together an article talking about how UCF, by joining the Big 12 this year, won the war on I-4. Let me first talk about the term war on I-4. Get your own fucking phrase. That was an Arena Bowl phrase. Now, if someone wants to tell me that someone, some other entity, used war on I-4 before it was used for the arena football battles, which were fun, between the Tampa Bay Storm and the Orlando Predators, I would love to hear your testimony. Because I attended or broadcast many of those Tampa Bay Storm, Orlando Predators arena football games. That was the war on I-4. So it always bothered me that people use the term war on I-4 to describe the USF Bulls football program versus the UCF Knights football program. Get your own frickin' phrase. That was Predator Storm. So I do not call UCF, USF, the war on I-4. I don't. That was Storm Predators. They launched it. They had it first. I do agree that UCF won the battle with USF, which is funny considering how USF always thought of UCF as this little school up the road. Yeah, we'll do them a favor, but we want everybody to know we're doing them a favor by actually scheduling them. And then what, 2014, UCF goes to the Fiesta Bowl, is playing in a BCS bowl game, ends up winning that bowl game at the time as the biggest underdog in BCS history against Baylor. And USF, in typical USF media spin fashion, instead is busy saying, oh no, don't look at that. Look over here. We'll have a big press conference. Our mascot was voted the best mascot in college sports, and we got a check for $20,000. Whoopee! What an embarrassment. To me, that's when UCF took the lead on USF. And here we are almost 10 years later, and it's game over. If USF wants to try to be in that game again, the only chance is when they actually get into a Power 5 conference, and this just in, you better not hold your frickin' breath. And that's some of what we're going to talk about going forward. UCF is in the top four with Miami, with Florida, with Florida State. Those other three have legitimate national championships. You UCF fans, stop. If you're going to claim that you were national champions, then I'm going to claim I'm the sexiest man alive. Because it has the same merits. So just leave that in the past. You had your fun with it. You wore your t-shirts. They're probably worn out by now. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Power Five. And I think UCF can do well this year, hitting the ground running. Love Hinshaw as the OC. You've got a returning head coach who's been building up for this, who knows how to play Power 5 football. You're not playing Power 5 football against Big 10 opponents or SEC opponents. You're playing Big 12 opponents. There's a difference. I think UCF will go to a bowl game. I think they could win as many as 9 this season, and they will have a winning record. So yeah, they've won the battle with USF to be considered the fourth program in the state of Florida. And the fine article done by two guys from the Times talked about how they accomplished that, what UCF did right along the way, what USF did wrong in losing. So this podcast is about how USF needs to be very careful because they better not spend too much time. They're already going to overspend on an on-campus football stadium that even respected members of their alumni call, quote, a vanity project for the Board of Trustees. And they're going to go heavily into debt, as heavy as any other college football program that's not in the Big Ten or not in the SEC, other than Virginia, as it relates to an on-campus stadium project with no ROI guaranteed. So while USF still tries to win a battle it lost with UCF, to use a NASCAR term, you better check your rearview mirror, because you got a rearview mirror full of FAU. And they're coming. And they may pass you in mid-October. Let's talk about the Florida Atlantic Owls, which, this just in, join USF's non-Power 5 conference this year. They are in the same conference now. I want to just quote an article by Reed Wallach that I enjoyed from a couple days ago via fansided.com in a AAC college football preview, odds to win conference, win totals, and predictions. Win totals in this article, and Tulane is the returning champ. Win total 9.5. SMU is next at 8. At 7.5, UTSA, Memphis, and wouldn't you know, FAU. 7.5. By the way, UTSA also a newcomer to the conference. 7.5. In case you're wondering, USF win total, according to this article, 4, which would be a significant improvement based on some recent numbers. Second lowest AAC win total, according to this article, Charlotte at 2.5. The author of this article calls Florida Atlantic his dark horse to win the conference in their first year. Quote, I believe the Owls have the talent to hit the ground running. The team hired Tom Herman this offseason, who has been a quick starter at new jobs. Herman improved Houston by 5 games his first season, 2 games his first season at Texas. FAU won 5 last year and then smartly fired Willie Taggart. Can the team take a jump? The team has options at quarterback with Central Michigan transfer Daniel Richardson, Penn State transfer Michael Johnson, but Herman reunited with former Texas quarterback Casey Thompson, who has the talent to be a top 3 quarterback in the conference. The article goes on, the team has an elite running back next to him in Larry McCammon III, who rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. The team also brings back 3 starters up front for a group that was top 30 in offensive line yards and top 20 in sacks allowed, wide receiver. They have a number 1 target returning from last season in LeJonte Wester. The offense was fine last year and should be better, but the defense was terrible last year. More on that in a moment. However, with Herman taking over and 18 of 19 defenders that played 250-plus snaps back, I believe the team can take a tangible step forward. If the defense can take a slight step forward, the offense has the ceiling to be one of the best in the conference. The schedule sets up nicely for the Owls, at least conference-wise. They have road games back-to-back out of conference at Clemson and at Illinois. But the Owls play all of their elite AAC foes in Boca Raton. That doesn't include USF, obviously. That game's in Tampa. I believe there's a ton of upside for Herman and company. That's the article from, you can look it up for yourself, on FanSided in an AAC conference preview by Reed Wallach. So let's talk about Tom Herman a little bit. Tom Herman was a Bears analyst last year. He failed at the University of Texas. They let him go a few years ago when they brought in, what, Steve Sarkisian last year. So why was Tom Herman not interviewed to be head coach when USF was out there for a while looking for a new head football coach? You want to know why? Well, here's, you probably think you know. You say, well, Charlie Strong failed. USF didn't want to go down the same road just hiring a failed Texas head coach. Not true. But I get that you brought that up. I get it. By the way, Charlie Strong was 17-2 in his first 19 games at USF. 17-2. That's the turning point in USF football. Since Strong started 17-2, the program is 8-43. He lost his last six of 2018, including a bowl game on his home field to Marshall. Then went 4-8 the next year. Then they hired Jeff Scott, and you know the rest. Yeah. So the Bulls are 8-43 in their last 51 games. But Charlie Strong was 17-2 his first 19 games. So hiring a former Texas coach wasn't so bad those first 19 games. Clearly then something happened. And USF hasn't been the same since. So why didn't they interview Tom Herman? I'm told because they felt he has substance abuse issues. Interesting. FAU not only interviewed him, FAU hired him to replace Willie Taggart, who continues to suck as a head coach, but FAU was tied for fourth in the conference last year. They didn't bottom out as USF bottomed out under Jeff Scott. FAU has been busy winning games and going to bowl games in recent years, having guys actually drafted in the National Football League draft. Of note, USF has not had a player selected in the last five National Football League drafts. You want a reason they suck? That's it. If you don't have pro caliber talent, you do not win at the major college level, Power Five or otherwise. USF, again, zero players selected in the last five National Football League drafts. No, I'm not talking about the first round. I'm talking about the entire seven-round National Football League draft. USF has nobody. FAU, they have people, namely Devin Singletary is one, a tight end for the Browns as well. So Tom Herman is coaching FAU. Clearly, head coaching experience, what USF didn't get with their hire. Great offensive background. And then what's funny is when FAU fired Willie Taggart, they pretty much cleared out the entire staff. And you just heard me quote Reed Wallach's piece on FanSided. Where was the line about their defense last year? Let me do it again. Quote, the defense was terrible last year. You know who their defensive coordinator was at FAU last year? It's the new defensive coordinator of the USF Bulls, Todd Orlando, who has had one of the most rapid falls as a college football coach as just about anybody in the last handful of years. So What held FAU back under Willie Taggart was a horrible defense. One of the reasons. That defensive coordinator is now good enough to be USF's defensive coordinator, but your ethics and your research that Tom Herman has substance abuse problems is the reason you don't even interview him for a head coaching job, but he's good enough to coach FAU, which is coming into Raymond James Stadium in mid-October to kick USF's ass. And at that point, FAU is no longer giving a rearview mirror full to USF, which is still too busy chasing UCF, despite now being a lap or two down, to continue the NASCAR terms. At that point, FAU passes USF and clearly becomes fifth best college football program in the state of Florida. Some would say they already are, but now they're in the same conference and get to go head-to-head with the South Florida Bulls, and it's more of a level playing field. By the way, FAU also, if you didn't catch a few months ago, went to the Final Four in college basketball. I can't tell you. Well, actually, I know the last time USF even sniffed anything in college basketball was their round of 16 run. What was that? Almost 10 years ago? Because they were having their building redone. And they were playing games at the now called Amalie Arena. And that was a fun basketball team to watch. But they got to the round of 16. And that was about the best they've done, gosh, for the last ever. Yeah, FAU went to the Final Four last year. So if you're even looking beyond at the only other sport that makes money for these schools, FAU has more going for them. So be careful, you USF fans who are still trying to win a battle that you clearly lost to UCF. You might want to pay more attention to who's in your rearview mirror, because in mid-October, they're going to play you head-to-head. And it's probably not going to be pretty. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and West Chase Golf Club. You can email me, right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. We'll talk to you next time.